As we've been reporting, the House failed to pass a bailout bill on Monday, and yet on Tuesday, the sun came up, the stock market went up. You can still get money from the ATM, and we do not have economic Armageddon. In fact, there are some experts who think the economy might be okay without a big bailout, and we have more this morning from NPR's David Kestenbaum.
After the bill went down in the House, lawmakers emerged looking shell-shocked. Representative Barney Frank, Democrat from Massachusetts, stood before the cameras and tried to make sense of it all. Was it partisanship, or was it maybe simply that people did not believe an abyss lay ahead?
I was persuaded by what I read and hear and see, a range of people I talk to, the Secretary of the Treasury and the head of the Federal Reserve, that we do have a serious crisis, that we are threatened with a shutdown of the credit system. Maybe that's wrong. Clearly, a large number of members of the House don't believe that. Some had a different view. Some said there was no great crisis. If, in fact, that turns out to be the case over the next period, then I will be very cheerfully admit error and take the rest of the year off.
So, do we need the bailout? Well, there is a petition opposing it. It's been signed by over 200 economists. Narayana Kochlakota is one of them. He's at the University of Minnesota.
I think one of the reasons why so many people were signing that is that the administration has not brought forth the information that would be compelling that, yes, we are facing financial Armageddon.
The argument for Armageddon is this. So many banks could go under that lending actually stops, or there's so much fear that lending stops or is so limited that parts of the economy essentially grind to a halt. John Cochran helped organize the petition. He's at the University of Chicago, and he says, yes, credit is tighter. If you want a loan, you have to pay more interest. The economy is sick, but the patient is up and walking around.
We have an unprecedented seizing up of credit markets and, as yet, no depression, no recession. Output as of last quarter was still growing. Even the gloom and doom forecasts say, okay, GDP might go down 1-2%, something like that. You know, this is nothing like 25% unemployment in the Great Depression. So, you know, even the gloom and doom forecasts are sort of for a standard mild recession.
Cochran says there are lots of ways to borrow money and lots of money in the world looking for a home. And even when banks fail, like Washington Mutual did, the largest U.S. bank failure in history, it got bought, he says, and business went on as usual, just with a new name out front.
I still don't see exactly what's coming over the horizon that is so absolutely awful.
There is suffering out there, he says, but some of it is necessary. Narayana Kochlakota from the University of Minnesota was in general a little less outraged by the bailout idea, but he says if he were in Congress, he would have voted against it. I asked what would have convinced him that there really is a colossal crisis ahead.
I think describing clearly the chain from Lehman's fall, which they did let happen, to the collapse of other institutions and how that's imposing a big stress on the system, both in Europe and the United States, that would be very compelling to me.
Because then you would be able to say, okay, I see here was a situation you didn't act and it really did sort of snowball.
Exactly. This is what every scientist hopes for. We sort of had an experiment.
Coach Lakota says the other thing that would convince him of a coming doomsday is if lending really does become impossibly tight. To get the latest, I talked with Ira Jersey at Credit Suisse, who studies interest rates all day long. And he says things are getting tighter. Take Caterpillar, he says, the company that makes the dump trucks and mining equipment. Until a few weeks ago, Caterpillar was able to borrow by issuing bonds that paid something like 5.5% interest. Last week, they issued new bonds and had to pay a whole percent more.
So that's just one example.
I guess, you know, but people have this vision of, you know, credit like a fire hose just at some point being shut off.
Well, or at least going down to a trickle.
And you feel like we're headed that way?
Well, I would argue that, you know, we're slow, that spigot is slowly being turned off and has been over the course of a year, of the last year.
The question is how much the lending would dry up and for how long. Now, the skeptics are not saying do nothing. John Cochran says the government should help, making it easier for banks to borrow from the Fed, for instance. But the bailout, he calls it the nuclear option.
It's like we have a boating outing and some of the boats are sinking. And so somebody says, well, I got an idea. Let's just blow up the dam and drain the lake. Okay. That'll keep all the boats from sinking, not just the three that are in trouble. But boy, that seems like that's a very rough way of solving a fairly narrow so far problem.
Unfortunately, the only way to know for sure who is right is not to do the bailout, cross your fingers, and see what happens. David Kestenbaum, NPR News.
You can ask your own questions about the financial crisis at our Planet Money blog on npr.org/money.